Hello, this is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service with reports and analysis from across the world. The latest news 7 days a week. BBC World Service podcasts are supported by advertising.
There were very little representation when it came to people with disabilities.
On the Podium is the podcast with Olympians and Paralympians past and present telling their inspirational stories.
We've come so far. The first person people think of when they think of strength could be a Paralympian.
Listen now by searching for On the Podium wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
This is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm Alex Ritson, and in the early hours of Friday, the 25th of August, these are our main stories. Donald Trump faces criminal charges in the state of Georgia for trying to overturn the US presidential election result. We'll have the latest from Atlanta. President Putin breaks his silence over the presumed death of the Wagner boss Yevgeny Prigozhin. And
most of these penguins will never have seen a human being in their life. But it's human-induced climate change which is driving their futures, and a future which is looking really bleak.
Scientists observe a catastrophic die-off of emperor penguin chicks in Antarctica. Also in this podcast, Zimbabwe starts arresting election monitors after accusations the presidential poll was rigged.
The electoral process is fundamentally flawed and is unable to produce a free and fair electoral outcome.
And the head of Spain's Football Federation is expected to resign after kissing a player at the Women's World Cup final. We begin in the US state of Georgia, where Donald Trump is charged with trying to overturn his 2020 election defeat in the state. He has until Friday to surrender himself to the authorities and to face 13 charges against him, which include racketeering and false statements. The former president, who denies any wrongdoing, has left his home in New Jersey. Many of his 18 co-defendants, including Rudy Giuliani, have already surrendered at the Fulton County Jail in Atlanta. These Trump supporters have been protesting outside the prison.
I got here yesterday morning about 11 o'clock, slept in our car, and we were out here by 6 o'clock this morning. We're going to be here all day. I think this is a political persecution, and now it's turned into a political prosecution.
I'm here to support President Trump. He's being ridiculously indicted week after week. Basically, they want to throw their political opponent in jail. That's third world stuff.
Chris Timmons is a former prosecutor in Georgia, and he knows the Fulton County Jail well. So, what's it like?
It's not a nice place. It's scary. Atlanta is a violent city. We have murderers, gang members, rapists, kidnappers are all in there. There was a time in the past where inmates figured out a way by shoving wet paper towels into the locks so they could get out of the cells and walk around. It's an issue. And relatively recently, a homeless man was in there, died, and they found his body 2 days later covered in bugs. Mm. It's dirty. There are a lot of paint chips. It's just not a nice place to be.
These are Mr. Trump's fourth round of criminal charges in just a few months, but they're potentially the most serious. A trial is expected to begin as early as October the 23rd. Our correspondent Carl Nasman is outside the Fulton County Jail and has the latest.
Right. Well, this will be a slightly different process, obviously, for a former president versus a petty criminal or a member of the public that would have the misfortune of arriving here at this jail. But what we're expecting from Donald Trump is now that he's entered the premises, he will likely have a room to himself. That's not always the case. The processing rooms can hold multiple defendants at once. He's likely to be there on his own. Of course, that's for security reasons. So he'll be surrounded by Secret Service. He's going to be processed. That will include fingerprinting. It will include some body measurements. And then, of course, what many people are waiting for is to find out whether or not Donald Trump will have his mugshot taken. Every defendant so far that has been through the Fulton County Jail has had their mugshot taken, and that photograph has been published publicly. And we've, of course, seen his former chief of staff today, Mark Meadows, and that mugshot being released yesterday, Rudy Giuliani, one of his former top lawyers, also photographed mugshot. That was posted online as well. We've even seen one of the defendants use that mugshot as their new Twitter profile picture. So some clearly, maybe, using this as a badge of honor. That will be the essential process. The reason why some defendants end up with this jail and don't leave for many hours, days, even weeks, is that they have now already negotiated the terms of his release. There's a bond that's already been set, $200,000. There's some restrictions in place for the former president as well. So all of that legal rigmarole has been done. That means once the processing is over, he'll be free to go. Already, he has a 9 p.m. interview scheduled with Newsmax, which is a Fox News competitor, a conservative-leaning American news outlet. So once again, as we've seen in the previous three criminal cases, Donald Trump certainly taking advantage of the opportunity to use this as a campaign stop, if you will, making it not just legal, but also political. And it's worth pointing out that, you know, this jail is open 24/7. Any of the defendants could turn themselves in at any time, but he did choose to arrive around 7:30, which is prime time in the U.S.
Carl Nasman. President Putin has made his first public comments about the plane crash that is presumed to have killed the leader of the Russian paramilitary group Wagner. He described Yevgeny Prigozhin as a man who'd made serious mistakes but achieved results. Wagner had played a significant role alongside Russian troops in Ukraine until Mr. Prigozhin led a short-lived mutiny exactly 2 months ago. From Moscow, our correspondent Will Vernon sent this report.
In the Kremlin today, Vladimir Putin paid tribute to Yevgeny Prigozhin and the Wagner Group, who he said had significantly contributed to Russia's war in Ukraine. The Kremlin leader said Mr. Prigozhin was a person with a complicated history, who had made mistakes, but he was a talented man. President Putin went on to guarantee a full investigation would be carried out into the plane crash. Russian authorities said today that the bodies of all 10 people on board, 7 passengers and 3 crew, had been recovered from the scene. Efforts are now underway to identify the dead. The Russian Aviation Authority said that Yevgeny Prigozhin and his second-in-command, Dmitry Utkin, were on board. Attention is now focused on what exactly happened to the Embraer Legacy jet and whether Yevgeny Prigozhin was assassinated in a targeted attack. Rumours have been swirling around Moscow for several weeks that Mr. Prigozhin's days were numbered. 2 months ago, his Wagner troops launched a mutiny, seizing a major Russian city and even marching on Moscow. The insurrection was eventually called off, but it was a significant humiliation for the Kremlin. In Moscow today, Russians told me the news about Mr. Prigozhin's plane and the Wagner boss's reported death came as no surprise whatsoever.
This wasn't really a shock, bearing in mind the whole situation. I almost expected something like this.
You can't challenge the Russian leader. Bad things will happen if you do.
I asked the pro-Putin Russian MP, Maria Butina, whether it was possible the Kremlin was behind Mr. Prigozhin's killing.
I don't think this is even plausible. I believe that there will be an investigation, and if there are people who are guilty in an accident, they will be punished by our law and punished strictly.
The message from the authorities here is clear. Wait for the results of the official investigation. But many Russians have already made up their minds about what happened to Yevgeny Prigozhin. They believe he broke the golden rule in Russia. Don't cross Vladimir Putin.
Will Vernon. Well, as Russian officials investigate what caused Yevgeny Prigozhin's plane to fall out of the sky, Western intelligence agencies have indicated he was killed on orders from the Kremlin. One senior British defence source told the BBC it had all the hallmarks of an operation by Russia's domestic intelligence agency, the FSB. Asked at a news briefing about speculation on why the plane had crashed, the Pentagon spokesman, Brigadier General Pat Ryder, said the US did not believe that a surface-to-air missile had been used.
Our initial assessment is that it's likely Prigozhin was killed. We're continuing to assess the situation. We don't have any information to indicate right now. The press reporting stating that there was some type of surface-to-air missile that took down the plane, that we assess that information to be inaccurate. Again, nothing to indicate, no information to suggest that there was a surface-to-air missile.
Brigadier General Pat Ryder at the Pentagon. So, Without its leadership, what will happen to the Wagner mercenary group and, in particular, its operations in Africa? In Mali, for example, there are thought to be about 1,000 Wagner soldiers. They were brought in by Mali's military government to help it counter a growing insurgency by groups linked to Al-Qaeda and Islamic State. Last year, French forces ended their operation to try to stabilise the remote and yet volatile part of Africa. BBC Africa's Feras Kalani is the first journalist to travel to northern Mali since they pulled out.
Racing across the desert. This is the start of a 1,000-mile journey. Across vast open lands to an unseen conflict where Wagner fighters clash with jihadist groups and separatists. It's impossible to operate here without a convoy of heavy security. Guided by dozens of armed Arab Tawareg in pickup trucks, we have swapped our jeans and shirts for their traditional blue and white robes and headscarves. Any symbols of Western culture puts us at greater risk of kidnapping. Abdullah, the head of the convoy, says we need to blend in.
We are now on the way to Kidal city, but we are currently in Timbuktu region. The desert is massive and, as you can see, there are no good roads. It's very risky. There is no security here.
As we speed across the desert, we dodge patrols from a group linked to Al-Qaeda. It's a dangerous and difficult journey, but it's the only way to reach the camps outside the northern city of Kidal. Hundreds of people live here, makeshift tents stretched across the desert area. There's little in the way of medicine or food, and some of the kids are suffering from a fever. Many are orphans who lived in an area controlled by Al-Qaeda until the Islamic State attacked and killed their parents. We are standing outside the only school in the area. These children are being taught to recite verses from the Quran. They are hit with a stick if they get a line wrong. It's the only education they're ever likely to receive.
We have spent 5 days on the road to reach this remote camp. These children's stories may have been hidden from the world, but they are another generation whose lives were destroyed by the so-called Islamic State.
We meet Fatima sheltering in her tent, along with her daughter and grandchildren. She walked hundreds of miles from the village they lived in to reach the camp.
Islamic State forced us to come here. They forced us to come here. All our men were killed. They burned all our food. When we arrived, we found water and shelter, so we stayed here.
Jihadists may have been defeated in the Middle East, but their grip of the African Sahel region is growing. Many here support the cause.
Al-Qaeda treats us according to Islam. IS doesn't treat us as Muslims. Al-Qaeda helps us.
Last year, help from the West was pushed aside as support on the streets for Russia grew. Many in Mali looked to Yevgeny Prigozhin. And a military operation by the French ended as Wagner fighters took up arms in Mali. Just days ago, Prigozhin appeared in this video. Some of his supporters claim the clip was filmed in Africa, possibly even in Mali.
The Wagner group conducts reconnaissance and search activities. We make Russia even greater on all continents, and Africa even more free. We are for justice and happiness for the African peoples. We terrify Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, and other gangsters.
His death will add to the growing power vacuum here. This month, UN bases dotted around the north started pulling out, renewing some of the fighting. The big question now, what role can Wagner play in Africa? And who else is left to stand up to the Islamist threat?
Feras Kalani. Scientists say there's been a catastrophic number of deaths among emperor penguin chicks in the Antarctic. Up to 10,000 young birds are estimated to have drowned or frozen to death. The sea ice on which they were being raised broke up before they'd fully developed the waterproof feathers needed to swim in the ocean. Experts say the changes to the sea ice are likely to become more common as the Antarctic warms due to global warming. Our science correspondent Jonathan Amos has this report.
Emperors are the largest of Antarctica's penguins, and their existence is intimately tied to the frozen continent's ice, specifically the sea ice around the coast, which the birds use as a platform on which to breed and bring up their young. But this platform is becoming increasingly unreliable, taking longer to form in winter and breaking up earlier in summer. And that's what happened in the Bellingshausen Sea sector recently, where four emperor colonies were devastated, their chicks drowning before they could molt their grey, downy feathers and fledge fully waterproof plumage. Scientists fear this scenario will become more common as sea ice recedes in a warmer world. Dr. Peter Fretwell is from the British Antarctic Survey.
Our models predict that by the end of the century, about 8 years from now, 90% of the colonies will have become extinct. And this is really poignant because most of these penguins will never have seen a human being in their life. But it's human-induced climate change which is driving their futures, and a future which is looking really bleak at the moment.
Next month should witness Antarctica's sea ice reach its maximum extent during what is the height of the Southern Hemisphere winter. It is far, far below where it should be, setting a new unwelcome record.
Jonathan Amos. Still to come on the Global News Podcast.
We finally have an athlete who's not just saying what he thinks we want to say. Like it or not, she's going to tell you what she really feels. She's not trying to be rude. She's just raw.
The outspoken new star of athletics, Sha'Carri Richardson.
I could feel stigma all around me.
Nearly died 3-4 times.
I had this secret.
This is Lives Less Ordinary, a podcast dedicated to remarkable personal stories.
I started having a strength in me.
Each week, we hear tales of the unexpected.
Walk in the shoes of some extraordinary people.
It's something quite wonderful.
Search for Lives Less Ordinary.
Wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In Zimbabwe, around 40 election monitors have been arrested in police raids across the capital, Harare. Those being held are from pro-democracy groups and are accused of trying to disrupt the voting process in an election in which the incumbent, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, is seeking a second term. His rival, Nelson Chamisa, the leader of the Citizen Coalition for Change, is hoping to end 43 years of ZANU-PF rule. A spokesman for his party, Promise Mkhwananzi, described the election as rigged.
We feel that the electoral process is fundamentally flawed and is unable to produce a free and fair electoral outcome. Nonetheless, we knew this beforehand and we've prepared ourselves to win an unfree and unfair election.
Civil society groups have tried to do their own vote count to compare results with the official tally in light of disputes over past election results. Our correspondent in Harare, Shingai Nyoka, told me more about the raids.
An SOS was sent out late Wednesday night from one of the lawyers' groups saying that they'd received distress calls from various staff members of these election observer groups, Zimbabwe Election Support Network, as well as the Election Resource Center. But it was only today that we had a confirmation from the police that these people had actually been arrested, 41 of them, according to the police spokesperson, and various laptops, I think about 38, were confiscated, and 93 cell phones. Now, the police are saying that they received a tip-off that led to this raid, a tip-off that the voter tabulation that was happening at one of the hotels organized by a network of observers was actually trying to preempt the presidential results and announce Nelson Chamisa as the winner. That hasn't been proved, but we're expecting them to appear in court on Thursday to learn exactly what charges they will face.
But there are also accusations that the electoral body has been trying to fix the vote in favour of the ruling party.
And that has been a long-standing accusation in the run-up to these elections. There were a lot of accusations against the electoral body around the boundaries, the number of polling stations. There were a lot of questions by non-governmental organizations and civil society groups about why there was a change in the number of polling stations from the initial number that was given in the Gazette. But as you mentioned earlier, these are historical issues between the opposition groups and the government, and election results is a battlefield. And in previous elections, previous by-elections, the Electoral Commission, the state-run body, has urged opposition parties as well as civil society groups to set up parallel voter tabulations. And this is what they were trying to do, and now they've been arrested for it.
Meanwhile, counting is underway and voting has been extended in some places.
Voting was extended into a second day in some constituencies in Harare as well as the eastern province of Manicaland. What happened yesterday is that despite the electoral bodies suggesting that they were ready to hold these elections, they were not. Ballot papers arrived late at many polling stations in Harare. People were waiting for 8 to 10 hours for these ballot papers to arrive. And so late on Wednesday night, the president issued a proclamation extending voting day into today. And so polling stations that opened have now closed and the vote counting is underway. But it has seriously damaged the electoral body. And we have heard accusations from the opposition that this was actually an attempt to suppress voters.
Shingai Nyoka in Harare. Reports from Spain suggest the head of their football federation, Luis Rubiales, will quit his post on Friday after being roundly condemned by the football world for kissing a Spanish player following the Women's World Cup final on Sunday. Football's governing body, FIFA, had already started disciplinary hearings into Mr. Rubiales. Our football reporter Nigel Adderley has the details.
Rubiales was initially defiant in the aftermath of the final, before later apologising. But that wasn't enough to spare him from FIFA's disciplinary code. Article 13 refers to offensive behaviour and violations of the principles of fair play. In addition to kissing Jenny Hermoso on the lips, Rubiales was filmed grabbing his crotch in celebration following the game while stood close to the Spanish Queen Letizia and her teenage daughter. The legendary American player Megan Rapinoe has claimed the behaviour portrayed a deep level of misogyny and sexism. And the pressure has steadily grown on Rubiales in Spain. Hermoso has spoken of her disgust at what happened. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said an apology wasn't sufficient. And senior figures from across the sport called on him to go. Real Madrid coach Carlo Ancelotti also described Rubiales' actions as unacceptable.
I think this is a very delicate subject. Yes, as a citizen, I think that like most people, this type of behaviour is something that I don't like, obviously. The behaviour has not been the behaviour of a president of a federation.
Rubiales has been a very powerful figure, also serving as a vice president for UEFA, who run European football. And this controversy comes at a time when Spain is also bidding to co-host the Centenary World Cup in 2030, and Rubiales has been central to that. A decision will be taken late next year. The Spanish football community will now hope to limit the reputational damage caused by Rubiales, but there's no doubt this episode has completely overshadowed what should have been a moment of triumph for the country's women's football team.
Nigel Adderley. We are here and no one will keep us quiet. The defiant message of a drag artist in Lebanon who was applauded when a show was disrupted by a homophobic Christian group. In footage of the attack circulating on social media, a man outside the venue in Beirut is heard yelling, "This is only the beginning. We've warned you 100 times." With more, here's our Arab Affairs editor, Sebastian Usher.
Members of a hardline anti-LGBT Christian group calling itself the Soldiers of God disrupted a drag show in the upmarket Mar Mikhail district in Beirut late on Wednesday night. Staff rushed to close the doors to protect the audience as the activists screamed homophobic abuse outside the venue. One of the drag artists hosting the event, Emigration, stepped on stage and brought the show to an early close.
We are here, we exist. However, sometimes to keep doing what we're doing, we have to do it smartly. Unfortunately, we have to cut the show short. I know, there's no reason to be worried or anything, but it's better be safe than sorry.
The drag artist and some of the audience took refuge in the changing area for about 40 minutes until the security forces arrived. Lebanon has long been seen as one of the most open countries, both socially and culturally, in the Middle East. But it's recently been witnessing an escalating anti-LGBT campaign, not just from conservative Christians, but from other communities in the country's complex religious framework. Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of a powerful Shia Muslim Hezbollah movement, has been spearheading the campaign. Just last month, he said that gay people should be killed, even if, as he put it, they only do it once. The LGBT community in Lebanon is used to dealing with sporadic crackdowns by the authorities, but sees the latest developments as a dangerous turn for the worse.
Sebastian Usher. Fast and feisty, Shikari Richardson is the must-see star of the World Athletics Championships in Hungary. On Monday, she won a thrilling 100 metres final. Richardson has been described as a role model for youngsters growing up in challenging circumstances, but she's also seen as controversial and sometimes volatile. Whatever your opinion of the 23-year-old Texan, she's essential viewing. And she's back on the track over the next few days. From Hungary, here's our sports news correspondent, Alex Capstick.
Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce blasts out of the blocks.
Budapest is her first major championship. So far, it's been a stunning debut.
It's going to be close. Who's going to get it? It's Richardson!
Dazzling on the track, but off it, things can get awkward.
Well, obviously I didn't make the team last year. I don't think you had to say that. But blocking out the noise, blocking out media like yourself, and just continuing to go forward, I feel great.
Every so often, an athlete comes along who demands attention. Shikari Richardson does just that. There was a difficult childhood. Her mother walked out when she was young. She was, though, a fast runner and found sport. But even that turned sour when, just before the Tokyo Olympics, she tested positive for marijuana. Sensational, spiky and sensitive. Perceptions of her differ. Few people know Richardson better than her manager, the former athlete, Ronaldo Nemaya.
Well, I guess in today's term, she can be polarizing. She's kind of a rebel and she reflects young kids wanting to do and say whatever they want to say and be free to do what they want to do. In my opinion, it's a defense mechanism because she's very much afraid and she's a fighter, so she's going to fight. She can read 1,000 positive comments and she'll find out one negative and she'll fight. She's definitely what our sport needs. She's charismatic. If she were a male, no one would have a problem with it, but she's a woman. And so she's very boisterous and flamboyant. There are often times where I felt shut out and she wasn't talking to me, but it wasn't me, it was just what she was going through. And it takes time. That's the other thing. She's very non-trusting, and so you have to earn it. I didn't experience what she did growing up, and so I would always tell people, the naysayers, you don't know her. Everybody matures at different times.
And as you said, the sport needs people like her.
It does. It needs people like her just to be their authentic self. I recall when she was disqualified from our trials because of the marijuana ban, and then she went on a national show the next day and owned it. And it won over a lot of more fans because they're like, we finally have an athlete who's not just saying what he thinks we want to say. She's like, I'm imperfect. I made a mistake. You know, I'm not going to apologize for being human. And I think that's why people connect with her because, like it or not, she's going to tell you what she really feels. She's not trying to be rude. She's just raw.
Gold medalist and world athletics champion. Representing the United States of America, Shikari Richardson!
One thing is clear. Here in Budapest, Shikari Richardson is a star. At the 100 metres medal ceremony on a plaza just outside the stadium, there's a packed crowd, mostly locals, and there's no question whose side they're on.
Yeah, very inspirational figure for sure for everyone watching all around the world, 100%. I like her message, don't give up on your failures. That's definitely something very inspirational. Yeah, I will definitely be looking to hear more from her and hopefully look out for more of her successes.
And it's not over yet for Shikari Richardson here in Budapest. There's the 200 metres followed by the relays, and whatever happens, the word is spreading and this latest star of the sport is being watched every step of the way.
Alex Capstick with that report. And that's all from us for now, but there'll be a new edition of the Global News podcast later. If you want to comment on this podcast or the topics covered in it, you can send us an email. The address is globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. You can also find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Global News Pod. This edition was mixed by Holly Palmer, and the producer was Siobhan Leahy. The editor is Karen Martin. I'm Alex Ritson. Until next time, goodbye.
Make back to school stress-free with DoorDash. Get all your school essentials delivered right to your door with 30% off when you spend $25 or more from select stores. Dash that binder, notebook, pizza, and more with DoorDash. Terms and conditions apply.
Take on a mission to unlock the real magic of that great Coca-Cola taste, updated with a twist. New limited edition flavor Coca-Cola Ultimate has been co-created with League of Legends. Taste the plus XP and level up by serving it ice cold for maximum refreshment. Scan the QR code on the bottle for unique digital and IRL experiences. League of Legends. Coca-Cola. Try new Ultimate Limited Edition flavor.